How about let's start where we've been starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, quickly, let me review a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And the reason we've been looking here is we're talking about that grace in verse 9 of chapter 2 Corinthians 12. Paul had been asking the Lord to get this devil off of him, the one that had been causing all the trouble. And I'm just going to quickly review now some things to get our minds going down this road again. So I guess we better back up to verse 7. He says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." Now stop for a moment. What is he talking about? In Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, "The sower sows the word. Those that don't understand it are those like by the wayside where the word is sown. Because they don't understand it, then Satan immediately takes it away from them." In other words, you cannot apply to your life what you do not understand. But the second group of people, he said, they did receive it on stony ground, but they did receive it with gladness. They understood it. It entered in, and they rejoiced and walked in the light of it for a season. But then it says, when affliction and persecution come, and the key is, why did it come? For the word's sake. Well, it's not the word you didn't understand. It's the word you did understand. In other words, when you began to get revelation of the word, the mysteries of the kingdom of God and what it really means, first you begin walking in it yourself. Well, the devil hates that bad enough. But then when you start becoming a light bearer, you begin carrying that light to others and into dark places and getting them born again. Now you become an enemy to the devil. Well, that's exactly what had happened with the Apostle Paul. Because of the abundance of his revelations, he had become the most dangerous man on planet Earth to the devil. Everywhere Paul would go, he'd go into these pagan places like Corinth and Ephesus and other places like that, and he'd wind up preaching the gospel, getting them born again, planting churches, staying long enough to train up pastors and elders. Eventually, he'd move on to the next place. So he is a dangerous man because of the abundance of his revelations. So what happens? He says, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan." What was his purpose? To buffet me. And why buffet him? To stop Paul's ministry from being exalted above measure. In other words, Paul had anticipated going on to Spain at one time. He wrote, "I'm going on to Spain." As far as I know, he never got there. And he says, Satan hindered me. Well, how did he hinder him? Well, through these very methods that all you have to do is back up into chapter 11 and you can see the things that this demon that was assigned to Paul. It was almost like there was this meeting in hell where Satan he says, "Look, this apostle Paul, he's doing damage to the kingdom of darkness everywhere he goes. I need a mean, nasty devil assigned to this guy, and I want you to stop him. You make his life a living hell. Sink the ships out from under him. Stir up the religious people everywhere he goes. Cause trouble of every kind." And he gives a whole list in there. And by the way, the one thing conspicuously absent from that list, I'll say it again, is sickness. Now, I know the devil probably tried to put sickness on Paul, but Paul knew he had authority over that. It's conspicuously absent, yet that's what religion jumps on. And says, "Well, Paul had this thorn in the flesh. It must have been weepy eyes." Oh, give me a break. If that was one of the afflictions, it would have been listed back there in chapter 11. He'd never mentioned sickness, but all that other stuff he talks about. And the whole purpose was to stop Paul's ministry. Stop him. And it's exactly what Jesus said would happen. When persecution and affliction arises for the word's sake. Now, if you have no revelation of the word, you're not walking in it yourself, and you're not preaching it anywhere. You know, now the devil still hates you. One of these messages I told you, Sue and I tried to draw a truce with the devil. We did that for 5 years. We just want to go to heaven now. Okay? He still beat our brains out. Now, during that 5 years is when I got that diagnosis of terminal cancer. Sue was diagnosed with a serious problem that could have killed her. All three of our children went into rebellion at the same time. Hey, the devil only knows one thing in three parts. Steal, kill, and destroy. He hates you anyway. You might as well go for it, but know this. Don't be surprised when you go for it, all hell breaks loose. Okay? Well, Dave was telling me, he says, "Gary, where we're going, You think you know, we're going into revival because of the abundance of the revelations. And so we're after the same thing here that Paul walked in. He says, we better understand this grace that Paul's talking about. We better understand it completely. So let's go on here now. And I'm going to just trying to get your mind going down a certain way again. So this devil's buffeting him with all the things mentioned in chapter 11, verse 8. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You just don't know the baloney I have heard preached out of that verse over the years. I mean, just baloney stacked on top of baloney. And I like baloney, but this is not good baloney. I like baloney if it's smoked just right. Anyway. But this is just terrible. I mean, they'd preach all kinds of stuff, you know. And, oh, you know, yeah. Anyway. I read you one translation where it says, God's power is best made perfect in weak people. Oh, for crying out loud. Do you think Jesus was weak? Do you think Paul was weak? No. What's he talking about? He's talking about the weakness of our mortal flesh. See, Jesus himself, even though he's God, he clothed himself in flesh. His spirit was from God directly. No sin in it. His body was descended all the way back to Adam. Had the same motions of sin in it. It was the same fallen nature as the kind we wear. That's why he was tempted in all points, just like we are, yet without sin. That's why he can relate with us. He can, the Bible says, succor us. He's able to help us when we're tempted. He understands it. He's been in the same flesh you've been in. Okay? And he could have been killed. That's the reason, really, that he didn't come back when they got the report about Lazarus being sick. He waited 2 days. Why? Well, the Jews found out Lazarus was sick. They knew he was best friends with Jesus and greatly beloved of Jesus, and they expected Jesus to come healing. So it said the Jews were lying in wait to kill him. The Holy Spirit let him know about the trap, and he didn't come for 2 more days. And by that time, once Lazarus died, the Jews go, well, he ain't coming. So they disperse, and Jesus comes and raises him from the dead. I love the Holy Spirit. We need that kind of counsel in the church. Yeah, but if I don't go, he won't be healed. That's all right. God will raise him from the dead. What? Our brain goes, what? You know? See, that's going to become normal thinking. To Jesus, that's just normal. Glory to God. Getting ahead of myself. Hallelujah. It's good stuff. All right. Well, that grace, what it really is the same as Jesus. Hey, when we got born again, God's grace is this. That nature that was in the Son, he took out that old sin nature out of us when you got born again. And he put that same nature on the inside of us. And that same strength of character is in there. That same strength of character that caused Jesus to be able to endure the cross. Aren't you glad he didn't let his emotions overrule him halfway through and say, that's it, let them all go to hell. I'm coming down off of this thing. Aren't you glad? That same nature is in us. But we keep failing and quitting and giving up. And me too. What are you quitting on, Gary? That is none of you. I'm not asking you about what you're quitting on. But the truth is, and this is what we're getting into tonight, the truth is that grace is more than enough for us too. Now, the last time we spoke, I think I talked to you about my addiction to cigarettes that I had for eternity in 3 days. I'd tried for 100 years. I'm exaggerating a little. 100 years trying to quit, couldn't quit, as a Christian. Failed every single time. But, you know, hear David call an all-night Friday prayer meeting. Oh, give me a break. I was so addicted to those cigarettes, I couldn't make it 20 minutes at a time. You know, I couldn't even make it through a message, much less all-night prayer. Now, he wasn't using this phrase in those days, but I wish I'd have known it then. Better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. So what we'd do, Sue and I'd... Oh yeah, she smoked too. You might as well know that. Anyway, she'd tell you if she's up here. So, I mean, like, you know, like I said, one service, I think Sue and I alone financially kept the Febreze company afloat for years. I mean, you know, because what we'd do, we'd have to leave. We'd go walk out of sight or get in the car and drive off and, you know, smoke a cigarette or two. Come back, psh, 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 for breeze, and here, you know, mints, and here we come, you know. Well, what are you going to do? Better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. But see, you keep building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That inner man, you keep building him up. Plus, we did a little fasting. I've never done a 40-day or anything like that, but I did a year of series fasting. That's where you fast 1, 2, 3 days on, 1, 2, 3 days off. Did it for a year, and I wasn't doing it about the smoking. I was really doing it for Tommy Perez, Lynn's boy. Because at that time, and we didn't have enough anointing or whatever you want to call it to get him out of the wheelchair. But the combination of that fasting for a year, continue praying in the Spirit, finally my day come. And the Lord gave me a vision. I'm not teaching on that tonight. I've taught on it before. End result, that was the last day I've smoked. And that was years and years ago. Thank God. Don't quit. I thank God for Dave saying over and over and over again, I don't care what slimy rock you crawled out from under. God will walk through hell with you, with your faults, as long as you're not justifying them, and as long as you're not, you know, saying it's okay and spreading it and causing damage in the body. But you want to be free, and you're trying to be free, but you just, as of yet, don't know how to get free, how to walk in it. We're going to talk about that tonight. Boy, God will walk through hell with you until you can. But don't stop doing the message. You keep building your spirit man up, praying on in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up on your most holy faith. See, well, I can't fast, but 4 hours, fast 4 hours every now and then. Who was it? Alan said he's become an expert at 31-day fast. I went, man. He says, no, you didn't get it. I become expert at 31-day fast. Intended to do a 31-day fast, but wound up doing 31-day fast. You know what I mean? Well, but it's better than nothing. See, we let the devil condemn us. I was going to do 4 days and I only did 4 hours. I'm so condemned. God's going, at least you did 4 hours. Amen. How about all the people that don't care at all? Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's good stuff, see? One other thing of it is, go somewhere. Here, I guess I start using the notes now. Hallelujah. Okay, now do your fingers like this. We're going to do Bible drill now. You ready? Okay. Exercise. Go to John 18. We're going to spend a lot of time in John, then we're going to move progressively through some things. See, to understand this grace, to really understand it, I thank God for the born-again trail. That was the first major new understanding I had in decades, I guess, of what really happened to me and you when we got born again. If you haven't listened to Dave Roberson's series, The Born Again Trail, it is 6 volumes, 10 messages each volume. For the love of God, do not let another month go by without listening to those. I have listened to them so many times, I have them in me almost like chapter and verse. But it's foundation. You've got to have that. And now, the thing of it is, first you got to know it. Then you got to walk in it. That's the truth part. Hallelujah. You'll see you here in a minute. Did I say go to John 18? Good. Thank you, Lord. Okay, John 18, starting in verse 36. You know what's going on here? They brought Jesus before Pilate. Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king, and to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Did you hear that? That I should bear witness unto the truth. I'm going to say it one more time. One of the reasons he was born into the world was that he could bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And boy, here is the question of the ages. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? Now, before I go on, the whole world needs the answer to that. People are falsely trusting in Buddha all over the world, thinking that they're trusting in truth. They're trusting in Allah and the teachings of Muhammad. They think that's the truth. There's others that are just trusting in just being a good person. You couldn't put a name on it. I'm just trusting I'm a good person. When I die, I'll get to go to heaven. But see, that's not the truth. Boy, Pilate asked the question, didn't he? What is truth? You don't have to turn to all these. You know as well as I do. In John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now in John 17:17, you don't have to turn to all these. You can get the CD later and write all these scriptures down. There, you can write them down now. John 17:17, Jesus was praying that high priestly prayer, and he says to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Pilate asked, what is truth? Jesus says, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Then he says, I am the truth. You know why? Because Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And it was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right. Now go to John chapter 1, verse 17. This one I want you to look at. Now the reason I gave you that about the cigarettes a while ago was this. See, I kept trying and trying and trying to quit in my own strength. I mean, I tried everything. Listen, there was a time, you talk about addicted. I don't mind telling you now, I was so addicted. There was one time I had I tried everything, the gum, the patches. One time I had a patch on each arm, chewing two of those Nicorette gums, and had to pull over for a smoke. Now, that's addicted, okay? I tried and I tried and I tried to quit. And then I would go to Romans 6. Now, I'd go to Romans 6. For example, I did this the last service. I'm not going to do it tonight. I'd go to Romans 6 and I'd read truth. See, what is it? The truth says, Gary, you are dead with Christ. You are dead with sin. How can you that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And I'd go, yeah, how can I? Puff, puff, puff. So I'd throw them down again. We'd go in different. We weren't at even at, you know, this was going on years before the prayer center even. I can't even tell you the lines I've been on. Different preachers stomp on my cigarettes, break my lighter, have to stop and buy new ones on the way home. Go to another meeting. Well, maybe he's got the power. You know, get in that one. Got a bigger name. Yes, in the name. And smash, you know, bang. And I have to buy more cigarettes on the way home, you know. The addiction didn't go. Now see, I'm being real ugly on me. We ain't even talking about your stuff, are we? You're not even talking about you. But you know what it is. But see, it's got more to do than habits. We're really talking about revival. There is a realm of truth where revival lives, and we have got to walk there. This little example I'm giving you, let's say it this way. For Gary, there was a realm of freedom that was already available to me. But at that moment, I did not know how to walk in it. But it sure doesn't mean it wasn't there. And it sure doesn't mean it wasn't already mine. It's very much like the promised land. God had given me a land called freedom from addiction. But I had not yet learned how to possess it by faith. How's that? All right. Well, God has given us a land of Tulsa is in revival, and Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. He is not holding it back. I don't care how many people say otherwise. And our job is to possess that land by faith. But in order to do that, we're going to have to walk in a higher level of truth than we're walking in right now. It's already there. It already exists. In the same way, I had to find out more about His grace to receive. And really, it's not even receiving. It's partaking in that which He has already given. He didn't give me. We use phrases. He gives me. Well, it does say He gives more grace and grace for grace. Okay. All right. But I'm telling you, my freedom was there the whole time. He wasn't like, okay, I'm waiting. It's like He's going, okay, I'm waiting. Maybe today I'll give Him grace for freedom. No, not today. Maybe tomorrow? No, not tomorrow. You think that's the way it was? The truth be known. See, I happened to get born again on the 4th of July, 1980. About 2 in the morning. At that instant, when that new nature came into me. Truth be known. I was free. I was free at that moment. I had a new nature. I had the grace that was sufficient for Gary to walk free. But see, you've got to have faith in that grace. You've got to believe it, or you can't walk in it. It's good stuff. All right. Now, if you haven't found John chapter 1 by now, look on with your neighbor. John 1, let's look at verse 17. For the law was given by Moses. But grace, now notice, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Isn't that an unusual way of saying things? Why didn't he just say, but grace came by Jesus Christ? Why didn't he just say, truth came by Jesus Christ? What's so important about grace and truth? It's not in there for nothing. Grace and truth. Well, in order to understand the last part of the sentence, let's look at the first part. For the law came by Moses. Well, we know how the law came. Moses went up on the mountain, spent 40 days and 40 nights. And God came and with His finger carved in the rock the Ten Commandments. Here comes the law. It comes down off of the mountain and basically says, here's God's law. People of Israel, keep this. And what did they say? We will. And for centuries, man tried to keep the law. And for centuries, 100% of them failed. Now, there was offerings and sacrifices for when you fail. So they would, you know, according to the law, if they offered the appropriate sacrifice. How's Dave say that? You know, guys trying to keep the law comes in from the office. How are you and that secretary doing? Yeah, you better kill another sheep. But if you offered the appropriate sacrifice, then you were declared innocent. Okay. But nobody could keep the law. That was the whole purpose. The law came by Moses. But see, you can read all through the New Testament. What was the purpose of the law? To expose the sin nature? And it was to prove to man. That's the whole dilemma in Romans 7. He goes, I read the law with my mind, and with my mind I want to keep it. God, I agree. Your law is perfect, righteous, and holy. So I'm making up my mind. Anyone ever do this? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do any of those bad things anymore, and I'm going to start doing all these good things. You do okay for a little while. Pretty soon, those bad things you weren't going to do, wind up doing them again, and those good things you were going to do, we're not going to do those. What is wrong with me? And the whole purpose of the law was to present a truth that Jesus had to come and reveal. He revealed it to Nicodemus. Now think about it. Nicodemus, he is a leader in the temple. He's a man that knows the law. He knows all of these things, and he's watching Jesus. Nobody ever did miracles like this before. And he's coming asking Jesus, this kingdom, what about this? And Jesus says to him, in John chapter 3, verse 5, basically here's Jesus for the first time in history really speaking the cure for the sin problem. Nicodemus is watching him. I mean, blind eyes opening. Never man spake like this man. All of the miracles. Jesus says to him, John 3, 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He's revealing truth that man should have gotten it from the law. What is the truth? Nicodemus, you're flawed at the core. You can't fix yourself. The only way this is going to happen, basically, you're going to have to die and you're going to have to be born again. Now, who is that smart? Who is that smart but our God? It says the whole human race is lost. They're flawed to the core. Isaiah said the whole head is sick from the top to the bottom. There is no salvation. There is nothing. There's no hope at all. You can't fix yourself. The law came by Moses. Here comes the truth. You can't keep it because you're flawed at your core. You can't fix it. You have to be reborn into God's family. Who would be smart enough to figure out a gospel like this? As well, they can't do enough good works. They can't change their nature. I know what. My son will go and pay the penalty for their sin. And if they trust in him, I'll take out that old stony heart that Ezekiel prophesied about. That old stony heart. I'll take out that sin nature that came with the fall. And I'm going to put back into them again the nature of my son. That is the grace. That's the truth and that's the grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Glory to God. You must be born again. Mankind, there is no other salvation. That's why Buddha won't work. Muhammad can't do it for you. You can't have a savior from a spiritually dead gene pool. Don't let them, listen, you know they're attacking the resurrection real strong right now. They also will attack the virgin birth. But if Jesus was not conceived by the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary, there's no virgin birth, we are not saved. You cannot compromise. If that life did not originate from heaven instead of from Adam, we cannot be saved. But thank God he was and we is. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And that's the grace. That's the truth and that's the grace that came by Jesus Christ. Let me read this little paragraph. It says, who is that smart? Who but God could have conceived of such a marvelous plan to get his man back again? To actually cause man to be born again into the family of God. We could never have thought of it, but God thought of it because he knows he can quicken the dead. Not just quicken dead bodies to life, but he also quickens dead spirits to life. Glory to God. Now, faith in God's grace is what enables us to walk in the truth. See, first you have to know the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth shall make you free. But see, it's not really knowledge that brings the power of God. It's faith that brings the power of God. See, I had knowledge of Romans 6 that whole time that I was still smoking. I had knowledge of it. I could quote it to you. Tell you all about it. Could not walk in it. Because it reads good. I intellectually understood it. But when it came right down to it, it says, okay, Romans 6 says I'm free. So I put down the cigarettes. I was free for about 15 minutes. After about 30 minutes, there was this little doubt began to creep in. A little voice began to, about an hour. I'm not so sure you're free. 2 hours. That voice is demanding that I'm not free. 4 hours later, it's time to go to the Quick Trip, buy another pack of cigarettes, another lighter. See? Now, you got to develop faith in that grace. It has to become revelation to you. Go to 3 John chapter 1, verse 3. Because now I'm going to talk about walking in truth. And I'm using habits as an example right now. Listen, it would be the same whether you're contending to be for a healing. See, when I was out there and I was walking out there and I'd read Romans 6 where it says, Gary, you have been made free from sin. And man, everything in my body told me otherwise. All the evidence, all the withdrawal says, no, you're not. I remember saying to God that day, I said, God, I have no evidence that I'm free except your word says it. And instantly I heard back, and that's all the evidence you need. Yeah, but that doesn't really help when the withdrawals come. And I'll tell you this. See, I wanted to be free when I felt free. Too often, how do you know you're healed? Well, when I feel healed. When I feel healed, I know I'm healed. Will that work? No, you got to know you're healed, and then you'll see it and feel it. See, and I had to know I was free, and then all hell came against me saying otherwise. It took a long time to walk in that truth. But thank God, I was so glad when the second year came that I didn't smoke anymore. Because then I could say, you know, they say, well, how long has it been since you smoked? You know, before then, all I could say was year. I was so glad when that second year came. Years. I haven't smoked in years. Plural. Been free ever since. You know, I could get addicted again. What do you got to do? Just let the flesh start having it again. You ever hear that old story about the young man who was a young Christian and he's trying to walk right? And he said, it's like there's two dogs in me. There's a good dog and a bad dog. He said, well, which one's winning? Well, the one that I feed. You feed the flesh, it'll get strong again. I just want you to see this. John, and this is, he wrote this letter when he was getting on up there. He'd been at this a while. He said, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. See that word truth? Even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When you got born again, that grace came on the inside of you, just like it came on the inside of me, came on the inside of Pastor Dave and Daisy and everybody else. He doesn't measure out different portions of grace. First time I heard Dave say this, well, we want to think that Paul received more than we did. We want to think somehow he must have got more grace. No, we all received the same nature. How much we nurture that nature depends. That's what determines how much we walk in, how much truth we walk in. Now, the enemy, he's always trying to get you to look at your own self, your failings, your shortcomings. We wind up quitting because of excuses like, well, I just can't. You know, I've tried. I can't. I can't this. I can't that. What I'm going to do here now quickly, here's where the Bible drill really starts. We're going to start in Romans 6. And get your fingers ready because we're going to go from left to right through your Bible. I want to give you some truths for you to meditate on. See, because the devil wants you thinking, well, God, he said his grace was made perfect in weakness. Boy, I'm sure a candidate. I'm about the weakest run around here. I've tried to pray and I just can't pray more than 10 minutes at a time. Is that so? I'll give you mine. Well, I've tried to fast and I just can't seem to do it. I try and the French fries call me, you know. Or whatever it is. Krispy Kremes, what is it with you? You know. If we're ever going to change. See, God, how do I say that, Lord? Yes, sir. We keep thinking we're going to receive more from Him. The truth of the matter is, he's not holding back anything. It's like, just exactly like with the promised land. I have given you the land. You could say it this way. I have given you my grace. I have given you the new nature. With that comes freedom. With that comes your calling. With that comes anointing. With that comes everything that you need. Now, by your faith, you need to go and possess the land. All right. I just want to look at some grace truths. You might want to write down the phrase and the verse. See, it talks about walking in truth. So I did a few verses, praying and just listening. There's a lot more than this in the New Testament about walking in truth. But here's a few. Here's some things that He has truly given us that belong to us and things we can walk in. One of them is Romans 6:4. It says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now just say this with your mouth. I walk, a little louder for benefit of the tape, there are people here.
I walk
in newness of life.
In newness of life.
I know. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Boy, we wish the sentence ended there. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that word Spirit there should be little s, because it's really talking about the new nature. It's talking about that grace that you received, where God gave you the nature of His Son. See, now this is one of them for Gary. I'm not picking on you, I'm picking on me. This is one of them I had to begin believing this. That I had the power to walk after the new nature and not let my flesh keep smoking those cigarettes anymore. I had to come to the place where I believed that. You could add multitudes of other things there, you know. I'm not going to do that because there's too many, and I'd pick on some and leave others out. You know what He's already talking to you about. All right, Romans 8:4. Here's another thing. So say with me, I walk without condemnation because I walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Amen. Now here's one, Romans 8:4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, again, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that should be little less, after the new nature. What does He mean by that? Love works no ill to his neighbor. God is love. The nature you received when you received His grace is love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. So let's say this after me. I walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of love. And by that method, I fulfill the righteousness of the law. Okay? Romans 13, verses 13 and 14. It says, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, and not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now that's one of them that would just kill me dead, because I knew I was fulfilling the lust thereof. In my case, it was cigarette smoking. But look at all these other things. Do you know you can be born again? Why write this letter to Christians? See, it says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. Why write that to Christians? Unless it's possible to be walking in those things. Not in chambering and wantonness. That's really bad stuff. I'm not going to teach on that tonight, but it's really bad, trust me. How about this one? Not in strife and envying. Boy, there's lots of that in the church, both of them. So we know, you know, you can be a Christian and be in strife. How do you know? Because you have been. Me too. And envying, yeah, me too. But we don't see the truth is, the truth about God's grace is, you don't have to. We can walk honestly. Not in the same way that we can walk free from drunkenness and rioting means parties and all that kind of, you know, chambering and wantonness, those are bad. I don't even want to get into those tonight. Hey, if you're sleeping around, you better quit it. How about that? Well, if you're a real Christian, you wouldn't be sleeping around. Yeah. It's not, Paul didn't know that. Because he wrote to him and says, you better stop it. If I was to really preach on this, right in the verses above that, he says, you walk like that, you're going to have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Don't let anybody deceive you either. You think you can be sleeping around on your wife? Yeah, but he loves me. He loves everybody in hell. He loves everybody in hell. You better not press that too far. Better love your wife. As Christ loved the church. Where'd my baby go? I love you, baby. Where are you? Somebody said to me, you look sharp tonight. That's because of my wife. Let me tell you. Hallelujah. All right, so let's say this. It is possible for me to walk not after the flesh, but in truth. I walk honestly, as in the day, and I make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And I don't care if right after this service you can't wait for me to shut up so you can get outside and smoke a cigarette. Say it anyway. The first step, can two walk together lest they be agreed? See, that's the first lesson I had to learn. I had to make these confessions out of Romans 6. I'm going to show it to you here. I found it. That's the page right there. I did it myself. He said, well, give me a copy. Make your own copy. I don't care if you have a copy. I mean, you know, you can do it yourself. It's not hard. Look at Romans. Go ahead and go to Romans 6. Let's go to this now for a little while. Romans 6. You can do this.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. Amen. See, and each one of you knows where he's dealing with you. Some of you would say, well, I can't quit lying. Yes, you can. Anyway, we're always saying we're weak. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. You can't walk together with somebody and be saying the opposite of them. You know, Jesus says, you're free from sin. And I'm going, I can't quit smoking. I can't quit smoking. You're free from sin. I can't quit smoking. You're free from sin. I can't quit. We're going to have a hard time walking together. Abraham had to learn this about God. The first step was, what did God do before Abraham had any evidence in the natural? Just like I had no evidence I was free from smoking. Abram had no evidence in the natural that him and Sarah was going to have any baby. I mean, can you imagine? 99 years old. Her 100 years old. Look in the mirror. If you're moved by what you see. And what does God say? Begin now. Say this. I'm changing your name. Every time you say anything about yourself, say this. I am the father of a multitude. Look in the mirror. Oh God. Oh God. Are you sure? I am the father of a multitude. God calls those things which be not as though they were. So I knew the first step, go to Romans 6 and get my mouth in agreement with God. I don't care if I'm not able to walk in it yet. Abraham wasn't able to have the baby at first either, but he first had to change what he was saying. So Romans 6:2 says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? My first one on here says, I am dead to sin. as I was lighting up another cigarette. Well, I'd already tried quitting 100 times. What am I doing? I am at least starting to program my mind with the truth. Thy word is truth. Now, it was a fact I was addicted, but the truth is I'm free. Truth changes facts. God's word is truth, and it'll change your facts. But you've got to get your mouth in agreement with it. I am dead to sin. I'll just read these to you. I just took them verse by verse. I have been baptized. I mean, you got to understand. Now picture me walking out there on the grass in front of the ugly building, and I'm just smoking like a freight train. This may or may not have been before I quit chain smoking. I don't remember. Chain smoking, for those of you that's never really been addicted, if you chain smoker, you only light one a day. You light the next one off the previous one, you know. But anyway, if you can just picture that, I mean, I am dead to sin. Smoking. I have been baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. I am buried with Him by baptism into death. As Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, I felt like a biggest liar on planet Earth. I felt condemned. I felt stupid. Bless God, I'm the one that eventually got free. I eventually did. I kept doing this, and I kept praying, kept doing what little fasting I could do. And all I can tell you is the day came. I possessed that part of my land. Now, how much... There are things... Okay, I'm not looking at anybody now. There are things He's been dealing with you about for years. And at this point, you're not really... You're not justifying it in the sense of, you know, it's okay. But you have come to that place where you've said, I'm just not ever going to change. It's just the way I am. You're going to have to love me anyway, God. And He does. And all you people are going to have to love me too. And we do. That doesn't mean you can't change. And I mean, it's time to go back. And you know what He's dealing with you about. It's time to go back. You may have to go to Romans 6 yourself. Or there could be other passages. Could be other things. I would highly recommend the first step. His word is truth. Truth changes whatever fact you're dealing with. Step number one, no matter what, I know it's going to be opposite to what you're living. It was with me. Get your mouth in agreement with truth. Begin to say about you what His word says about you. See that when I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, it was in the context of finances, but you know it's really true in every realm of His life. When they were, see, that's really, my grace is sufficient for you. Can't imagine what it felt like as they had Him lashed to a pole. If you've seen the Passion of the Christ and the lashes, can't imagine. I've never suffered anything like that. Paul, five times received 39 lashes on the inside of him. He's trusting something that's way bigger than him. God, I don't like this. This isn't pleasant. But God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're going to heal me after this one too. And I'm going to go preach your gospel in the next city. He's got to raise up a people like that for this revival that's going to last till Jesus comes. I'm glad I go to this church. And let me say it one more time. I'm trying to say it a number of ways to where it blasts your brain. You can change. You are not so weak as you think you are. You may be weak in the flesh, all right. That's what it's talking about. My strength is made perfect in weakness. We're clothed with weak mortal flesh. I know it. The devil knows it. You know it. And Jesus knows it. But that strength, that grace He put on the inside of us is way bigger than our weak flesh. We are going to walk as children of light. Hallelujah. Glory to God.